Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this evening hour in the call to worship, in the call to listen to Thy Word, in the call to hear the Gospel. And we bless Thee that the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray that tonight it may be with power. Lord, deliver us from every constraint and restraint of the evil one. Make a highway in this hall for the preaching of the gospel. Defeat the devil tonight. Every satanic purpose from the underworld of hell and the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. Lord, send the power of God upon the meeting. Grant that sinners may be stricken hip and thigh with old-fashioned conviction of sin. Lord, grant that the Word may be with power, not in the wisdom that man teacheth, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us to preach the Word tonight. Deal with man in his blasphemies. Deal with man in his inconsistencies and iniquities. And Lord, show us Christ, God's answer to sin. God's answer to man in his ruined, lost estate. The precious sin bearer, the wonderful Savior, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. Let Thy blood and let Thy power be upon us. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done with us already. We bless Thee for Thy presence this morning in a marked manner. We thank Thee for Thy grace this afternoon. We thank Thee for this service and those that have come to listen to the Scriptures. Lord, tonight let Thy Word come as with sledgehammer power, breaking the flinty hearts, and bringing where there is brokenness healing. For there is a balm in Gilead. Praise God, there's a great physician there. Oh God, do us good tonight, we pray, for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen. It has been announced that I would speak this evening on the subject entitled Moon Madness. Moon Madness. Some years ago, there was a little poem written. It was handed to me this morning. It would make a fit introduction to this subject. I'm sure you have heard or read about the satellites in space. How Russia and United States are in the rocket race. To hear them talk, it won't be long. For space they'll conquer soon. And then what next will man attempt if he should reach the moon? If man should ever reach the moon, there's one thing that is clear. He'll ruin everything up there just as he has done down here. With sin and crime, with lust and greed, he's got enough to do to cleanse the mess he's made on earth. And you know that is true. The sickness and the want and fear, the broken hearts and shame, and hungry millions cry each day, and man is all to blame. Could I comment there in India? They're making a sacrifice of thousands of pounds worth of relief food parcels in an offering to their Hindu gods. We are supplying money to feed the hungry, and they're burning it. That's what's happened in India this last week. And could I just break in here and say that in Biafra, there are 400 separated fundamentalist churches in membership with the International Council of Christian Churches. And they're not getting any relief because the relief is being channeled through World Council agencies and it's going to the Roman Catholic Church. And we're having offerings next Sunday, retiring offerings to help our Biafra brethren. The leader of the Biafra churches is in prison. He has been put in prison. You know why? Because he'll not cooperate with the rebellion, which is Roman Catholic inspired. Why is the Pope worried about Biafra? Because the Pope has a hand in this revolution. That's why. Talking about justice, the old rascal today. Yeah. Talking about justice. Think of it. And Rome itself seething in a boiling cauldron of injustice. Well, I better read this poem or I'll never get through tonight. I think we had better set our sights above the moon and space and look into God's eternity while there is time and grace. I believe that, friend. It's not the moon we need to reach. It's the God who placed it there. The one who went to Calvary, a rugged cross to bear. For sins of man with wicked hearts, he died one afternoon with faith in him. You'll have no fear if man should reach the moon. And man has reached the moon. Man has put his foot upon another world. This is a momentous happening for all humanity. And it has an effect upon every one of Earth's millions. Now I want to turn you to the Scriptures tonight. For the only basis of my message is the Word of God. And I want to point out, first of all, God's purpose for the moon. God has a purpose for the moon. And if I read this Bible aright, it was never God's purpose that man should walk upon the moon. Never. And I'm convinced about that. God has permitted it. As I have said, God has permitted many things. Maybe before we start, we should get down to a little verse over in Ecclesiastes. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. It's a great little book. It's a book which the preacher wrote. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. One of Solomon's books. 7:29. If you want to do your wife a favor tonight, husband, when you go home, read her verse 28. I'll not read it now. You just read it to her. Be sure and do it. Ecclesiastes 7:29. I wouldn't dare read 28. The woman folk would go for me. But I'll read 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. But, I want you to notice this, but they have sought out many inventions. This seeking for power, this lusting for power, this desire to glorify man. It's an evil thing, friend. I'll just show you how evil it is. There's one of the cartoons that appeared in our press and the Daily Mirror on Tuesday last. There's one of them. That's utter blasphemy, isn't it? Man sitting on the moon with his feet upon the world. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.
That's how far man goes in his blasphemy against God.
I want to tell you that the heaven is the throne of God. But man would like to climb to it. You're the old devil. The first sin was the sin to belike God. The devil said, I'll climb. I'll sit where God sits. And there's a coming great world ruler, if I read this old book aright, and he's going to say the same. I'll sit where God sits. But let me say something. In this word, we have clear instructions concerning the moon. The Bible's right up to date, you know. And we turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we find that God made these lights. That's the sun and the moon and the stars. He made them to divide the day from the night, and for signs.
For signs.
And I believe that these things will be the means of prophetic signs. God will use them to mark in the very heavens definite prophetic signals or storm signals. As this old world rushes to its final and everlasting consummation. Now you just take the book of the Revelation for a moment or two, and you will find in the book of the Revelation in chapter 8 the moon is mentioned. In fact, there's a lot of mentions of the moon in the book of the Revelation. We haven't time to fully expound them, but in Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. It's going to be a time when a third of the sun is going to be smitten by the power of God in judgment. Now look at it. And the third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So here we have a time when the moon shall mark off in a third of darkness a particular interval in God's judgment upon this world. Then if you turn back with me to chapter 6 and verse 12, you will find that at the final judgment, that the moon will give a signal in the heavens that the judgment day has come. Look at it. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. God's blackout forever of the sun. That's something you know man will never do. And let me tell you something, friend. Man will never, never, never destroy this world. God's reserving it to judgment from his own hand. I want to make that clear. Some people get terribly worried and they think man's going to blow himself up on this earth. Don't you believe that God's going to deal with man. God will have the final last word in the whole situation. I'm glad God's on the throne tonight. I'm glad I can look up and say God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. Of course, when this old world's burning up, I'll not be here. I'll have flitted before that time. Praise the Lord. For that. Now let's look at it again. It says that the moon shall become as blood.
I'm not going to try and tell you how that's going to happen. That's not my business. I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I know this, that the book says it, and I believe it. The moon will bleed itself to eternal death in the very heaven. What a day that'll be. When the sun is dark, and the moon is as blood, and the stars leave their orbits in the heavens and fall to the earth. What a terrible day that'll be. Thank God for those that'll be safe that day. Safe in the arms of Jesus. And safe in His gentle breath. I'm glad I'm safe. I'm glad I'll not be calling on the rocks and mountains to fall on me. Because I've hidden in the eternal rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Yeah. It's going to be prophetic signs in the moon. I'll tell you what else. The moon is the symbol of the church's power. It's linked with the church. It's a symbol of the church's power. Turn over to Solomon's Song. The Song of Solomon. And in that song, there's a verse. Solomon's Song, chapter 6 and verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? It's the type of the church. You get the same type again over in the book of the Revelation and the two women. You have the scarlet woman of Revelation chapter 17. The harlot bride of the Antichrist. And you have the bride of Christ. The church in chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You know what it means, friend? It means that God has given the dominions of His heavens to the church. That's what it means. I'm not talking now about mere aerial heavens, or the moon, but I'm talking about the symbols of the celestial worlds above. Praise God, we're going to be clad in all the glory of the work of His mighty and unfailing and totally availing redemption. So the sun and the moon are for signs. You got that? Let's look at it again. They're for seasons and for days and years. That doesn't need much explanation. The old day and the old year and the old season was reckoned on the lunar calendar. That's quite simple. We understand that. Now tell me, what was the divine purpose for the moon? The divine purpose is set out here. This is the divine purpose for man to walk its surface and conquer it. No, sir. The divine purpose for the moon was to be a sign for seasons, for days, and for years. Now turn with me in the same chapter, please, to verse 26. And when God comes to make man, He made man to rule. Made man to rule. What did He make man to rule? He made man to rule in a threefold dominion. And this is very important. You turn over and compare this with the eighth sign. The eighth sign. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. There's the place of God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy finger,
the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. What works? What works? All things under his feet. What all things? All sheep and oxen. Yea, and the beasts of the field. There's man's dominion on the earth. Man was called upon to rule the earth. Here's man's dominion over the air, the fowl of the earth, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. So God said to man, rule the earth, rule the aerial heavens, and rule the seas. And here we have man's dominion. Of course, man's scepter has been smashed. Man's throne has been defaced. And in chapter 3, we see man broken, soiled, scarred, and ruined by sin. Man hasn't the dominion that he ought to have, or God planned him to have, or God was mindful for him to have. And man unable to conquer the depths of the sea, for their depths that he has never conquered. And man unable to subdue this earth, and this earth is torn with wars that no UNO or any other peacekeeping, so-called peacekeeping organization shall ever settle. And man unable to deal even with the aerial heavens that are his. He's gone to other worlds. He's sought out other places. He's gone across the boundaries of heaven's set dominions. And you know what it's all for? It's all for his own self-glorification. Now there are three things that moon madness has done to this world. And the first thing it has done, it has put the temporal before the spiritual. Do you know that? Do you know there were more people in the world viewing that space flight and the coming of the astronauts onto the moon's surface and what they did there than ever were interested in things that are spiritual? Do you know that? Let me turn you to one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 18. While we look at the things which are, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Listen, for the things which are seen are temporal.
That moon, friend, it's only temporal. It's an amazing part of God's creation. So was this earth. But it's only temporal. But look, the things that are not seen, they are eternal. I know people sat up half the night to see it. But you never sat up the half the night, sinner, to consider, where will you be in eternity? What a fool you are.
You have time to leave your bed. Time to leave your sleep. Just to dwell upon a temporal thing, no matter how fascinating and entertaining it may be.
But my friend, you haven't time to consider the things that are not seen. The great things concerning judgment that is to come. Listen, friend, tonight, consider your latter end and the wise. Secondly, moon madness puts the work of the creature before the worship of the Creator. The greatest week in man's history was the great week of redemption. And the greatest day in man's history was when Jesus rose from the dead.
And they brought in a new creation, which shall last longer than the sun and the moon shall endure in the heavens as we see them today. Praise God, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Moon madness puts the temporal before the spiritual. It puts the work of the creature before the worship of the Creator. And one thing I didn't like about it was this boasting confidence that they would make it. My friend, just let one little thing go wrong and they wouldn't admit it. And then they have the blasphemy to say, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Don't you believe it, friend? You're only just a puny wee bit of clay, and if God blew on you tonight, you would perish for all eternity. Don't think you're anything. A box and 6 feet of earth will do you, friend. And it'll do me as well. And then the last thing I want to say, and I'm through. Moon madness puts man in space before God and grace. And they're interested in them going up and landing and coming back. But friend, I'm interested tonight in the great excursion that God took from out of eternity into time. We hear a lot about visitors from space, but praise God, this world has a visit from God's throne. God's Son came. Jesus Christ came from beyond the moon and beyond the stars and beyond the planets that human eyes as yet have never seen. And no telescope ever made by man has ever pierced the gloom to see those burning orbs that revolve in their own orbits away out in the far-flung reaches of the great space beyond this world. But praise God, Jesus came. I'm glad Jesus came tonight. Came to deal with the rupture and the cancer and the curse of humanity. Came to deal with that thing called sin. And one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to Calvary's tree. And one day, one lonely day, one dark day, but one wonderful day for me, Jesus Christ accomplished my salvation. I'm going to tell you something. And every believer will agree with me. No matter whether you're a Baptist or a Brethren or a bound Presbyterian or a free Presbyterian or whatever other sort of Presbyterian you may be or an Episcopalian, you'll agree with me one day because Jesus died. Rose again, and we believe it and are washed in the blood. Friend, we're going to go up to meet our Lord. The trumpet's going to sound. Yes, I'm going to put on a spacesuit that day. I'm going to put on an incorruptible body. It'll not need any oxygen pack in the back of it either. It'll not need any tubes. Throw it, hallelujah, it'll be God's body. And we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. Say, if that trumpet sounded now. Say, friend, if the great shout that's going to shake the world sounded now. Say, if at this moment the trump of the archangel, the trump of God sounded. What about you? You're not saved. You're not redeemed. You're not ready to meet your God. I have a verse to leave with you. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.